Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Tomorrow, our ministry in the nation's capital, Faith and Liberty, will host prayers and remembrance in honor of the victims of Roe v. Wade on the Sanctity of Human Life Day. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, as you stated, tomorrow will be designated as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And that is a reminder that we must never forget that 52 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the abortion opinions Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, which tragically opened the doors in 1973 to killing preborn babies for any reason and at any stage of development.
Liberty Counsel has a number of ministries, one of which is Faith and Liberty. It's headquartered in the nation's capital. It is neither legal nor public policy. It is an evangelistic ministry meeting and a discipleship ministry that provides opportunities for people on the Hill to come together in fellowship and worship, study the Bible, and also a spiritual support ministry for those in all three branches of government. Well, we will host through that ministry, Faith and Liberty, the prayers and remembrance victims of Roe on the west side of the United States Supreme Court at noon on January 22nd, the very day of the Sanctity of Human Life Day. And we will have a prayer vigil in which participants will place about 3,000 flowers on the sidewalk in front of the High Court in honor of the approximate number of American babies who are aborted in this country every day. The speakers will offer reflection, prayers, and also Bible verses to honor the sanctity of human life and those who have lost their lives, and also commit to work to make sure that the womb is a safe place once again. Because, Holly, we rejoice that in 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court did the right thing, and they overturned Roe v. Wade and the 1992 Planned Parenthood v. Casey decisions. And that set the issue of abortion back down directly into the states and to the people and their elected representatives. And that was a great decision because it was never part of the Constitution to begin with. But we also, as a result of that, have been very, very busy because now the battle is on the individual state level.
Right. The work is not done. And, you know, I appreciate that in 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And often on Sundays, churches will also celebrate it. But part of the proclamation, he states, "I call upon the citizens of this blessed land to gather on that day in homes and places of worship to give thanks for the life, for the gift of life, and to reaffirm our commitment to the dignity of every human being and the sanctity of each human life." That's why, as you said, we celebrate the overturning of Roe, but we must never forget all the precious children that have died and that continue to die through abortion.
Yeah, it's something that we worked for and so many others worked for many years. Roe versus Wade was in effect for nearly 50 years, 49 plus years, January 22, 1973, and then overruled at the end of June 2022. We filed an amicus brief in that case on behalf of about 70,000 African-American and Hispanic individuals with many, many churches. About 70,000 churches were represented, representing millions and millions of people across the country, showing the eugenic nature and the reason, the purpose of abortion originally and even now, and that is to eliminate the, quote, undesirables, close quote. Those people that individuals like Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, and others wanted to get rid of because they weakened the human gene pool in their distorted Darwinian view.
She called them human weeds.
Human weeds that ultimately clouded up, interfered with the garden of humanity, and so you needed to pluck them out.
Mm-hmm.
Not just African Americans and Hispanics, but also certain people from different parts of the world, depending upon where they were immigrating from. Those that had, quote, low IQ, even though they weren't able to really, you know, regulate or detect their IQ level accurately.
Those with Down syndrome.
Those with Down syndrome, epilepsy, mm-hmm. and many, many other conditions. They wanted to get rid of them.
Right.
And that's why they did contraception. That's why they did abortion. That's why the abortion clinics of Planned Parenthood are predominantly, like in the 80%+, mm-hmm. located in minority neighborhoods.
Right.
They're there for a reason.
To eliminate those people.
To eliminate those people. And amazingly, Margaret Sanger actually got the help of some black pastors to push her genocide. And Faith and Liberty Senior Vice President Peggy Kneeneighbor said, quote, January 22 will always be a tragic day in American history. We cannot escape the consequences of this human genocide unless we stop the slaughter and repent of this terrible sin. Abortion is rebellion, she continues, against God, the author of human life. Abortion kills innocent children and destroys the dignity of women. She continues, we will continue fighting the battle to make the womb a safe place again. And that's really the time of reflection, the time of mourning, the time of asking God for forgiveness. We can't just pretend like nothing happened in this country. My goodness, 63+ million or more babies.
Yeah, I think it's more like 64, almost 65.
We're killed.
Yeah.
And now abortion is still happening. It's still happening because we have a number of states in the country that have passed pro-life laws since the overturning of Roe. But then you have abortionists that are sending their abortion pills across state lines to do what they would not be able to do in a brick-and-mortar facility.
Yeah, right now I think it's 63% of abortions are chemical abortions. That means the woman takes the pills at home, not with a doctor's supervision, and can easily bleed to death as well.
And under the Biden administration, you have a relaxing of the ability to do telemed to get this pill, and then no follow-up. It used to be that if you got this abortion pill, you had to have an in-person visit. You get the abortion pill, and then you have a follow-up to see if there's any complications.
Well, you notice COVID encouraged that, too.
COVID did, and they use that as an excuse, and there's no reason for not having a follow-up. Even mm-hmm. if you're doing telemed, there's no reason for not a telemed follow-up. So they just wanted to make it expanded, especially they did it after Roe versus Wade was overturned. They tried everything in their power under the Biden administration to expand abortion. And thank God that administration is no longer in office, because in every area, they pushed abortion and they pushed LGBTQ.
Absolutely.
So we have a day today and tomorrow as we come together, and all week, the actual march will be at the end of the week on Friday.
Yeah, the March for Life. They do their annual march there.
And Liberty Council, Liberty Council Action, Faith and Liberty, we will all be part of this historic march in the nation's capital. Very involved. Yesterday, our ministry, Faith and Liberty, kicked off the inauguration day of President Donald J. Trump by participating in and hosting the distribution of 50,000 Bibles in the nation's capital. 50,000 Bibles. These actually have the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans. So it's the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans in one little booklet together. And those are passed out, 50,000 volumes.
That's incredible.
Incredible. And as we move forward this year, our printing operation, New Revolution, is going to be printing pocket-sized Gospel of John Bibles. And they have the plan of salvation at the very beginning. And we will put these into the hands of every member of Congress on the House and Senate, and also their staffers, to bring a new birth of freedom, a new birth of freedom that protects the sanctity of human life to the nation's capital.
And you know, that's what I love about Faith and Liberty Ministry. They're always about spreading the word of God. You know, they're having Bible studies continuously. They do the live nativity during Christmas, where they're sharing the gospel right there on Capitol Hill. No other ministry does that. And sharing Bibles inauguration day, and then representing these aborted babies with flowers every year.
Yeah, our ministry, the Faith and Liberty Ministry, is amazing because it does all of that. It honors our first responders and law enforcement officers every year with annual awards to recognize their service. Also, a major participant in the National Day of Prayer mm-hmm. and the annual Bible reading, which we do. We have a congressional Bible reading. We also have the annual Bible reading on Capitol Hill, where you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation nonstop. But this particular week is very important because of the inauguration of prayer, of distributing Bibles, and also this prayers and remembrance for the victims of Roe, gathering together to honor and remember those who have gone before us, and also to commit to make sure that we make the womb and this country a safe place again for all of us, especially the most vulnerable. For more information about the Ministry of Faith and Liberty, you can go to faithandlibertydc.org, faithandlibertydc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.